My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy. He is a former federal prosecutor. He is an accomplished author. His latest book is Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. He also writes frequently for National Review Online, and that's the case again today, with a leading piece entitled Ron Klain and Solyndra. Ron Klain, of course, is the new Ebola czar for the Obama administration, and his appointment has gotten some interesting reviews, given the fact that Klain does not have a medical background, but is more of a political operative. In fact, he served as chief of staff for former Vice President Al Gore, as well as during the first 2 years for Vice President Joe Biden. It was during those 2 years in Biden's office that McCarthy focuses on, and specifically Klain's efforts in promoting Solyndra and some potentially illegal activities in there as well. And Andy, it's always good to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
As you point out in the piece, Solyndra seems like a lot of scandals and controversies ago, but basically this was a solar energy firm that the Bush administration had rejected for government assistance, but the Obama administration decided to go forward with it despite really bad financial forecasts for the company. Explain why.
Yeah, the Bush administration oddly had refused to lend money to Solyndra, or as they put it, invest taxpayer dollars in these energy businesses, which mainly green energy businesses, which federal law came to allow them to do during the Bush administration. Even though the administration was anxious to get on that bandwagon, it shunned Solyndra, and the main reason was its business model was, as one analyst put it, a complete total disaster. It was hemorrhaging money. It didn't really have any prospects of ever becoming viable, much less profitable. And for that reason, the Bush administration sort of stiff-armed them. But within a week of Obama taking office, their application was back in business again. And certainly that one has to conclude that had something to do with the fact that the backer of Solyndra was the family foundation of a major Obama donor.
Andy, from then on, there's obviously the effort of the Obama administration to tout Solyndra as a major success story and how it can help to revitalize the American economy. But that was largely a smokescreen for its horrific financial conditions, even with over half $1 billion of taxpayer assistance. Why was even all that money, $535 million, not enough to keep this thing afloat?
Well, again, it's because its business model was such that it couldn't compete, particularly with Chinese companies that were able to deliver solar energy at much more, with much more efficiency and for much less money. And as a result, this company continued to hemorrhage money. At a certain point, they decided to try for market financing after they had gotten the government loans. So they contemplate this initial public offering, and as a result, the accountants naturally have to go through their books because there's or do the audits because there's all kinds of SEC requirements for initial public offerings. And when the accountants looked at this, they said it was basically a disaster. They thought it was quite likely that it wouldn't be able to continue as a going concern because of the shape that it was in. And the importance of that, Greg, is that that happened a couple of months before President Obama famously came to Solyndra and touted it as a great company that was going to have these wonderful ramifications throughout the economy. And also before President Obama went to Solyndra and delivered that speech, Obama's highest echelon of advisors was warned by people with some financial sophistication that, maybe you all ought to think twice about having the president or the president ought to think twice about going to Solyndra to give this speech, because if it goes belly up and bankrupt, which everybody understood was a real possibility, that could really haunt him in the ensuing months leading up to the midterm elections. At that point, the Obama advisor, his top advisor, Valerie Jarrett, turned to Ron Klain, who was then the chief of staff for, as you mentioned, Vice President Biden, to say, you know, what do you think of this? Because Biden had been so deeply involved in this green energy stuff from the beginning, and basically claimed, said, you know, look, I'm comfortable with it because if the president, you know, did 10 of these companies, you know, touted 10 of these companies, chances are a couple of them might go belly up, but that's just what you have to do. You have to take these risks. And, you know, it seems, at least to me, when you read the email about it, he was sort of cavalier about the fact that you could have, you know, massive catastrophic failures of these companies that are flush with taxpayer funds.
That's certainly one aspect of it. Another one, as you point out in the piece, is what happened once Solyndra effectively did go belly up and what the priorities were in terms of reimbursement and how the taxpayers weren't exactly at the top of the list.
Yeah, well, federal law is supposed to put the taxpayers at the top of the list. I think this federal law, by the way, is an awful law because it enables the government to play venture capitalists in these very dubious ventures that if they actually were potentially viable and profitable, they wouldn't need the government to come in and finance them. They'd be able to attract public financing. But the one good aspect of the law is that it makes sure that the taxpayers are supposed to be given priority over the backers of the companies in the event that the company goes bankrupt. And in this instance, what the Obama administration did was allow that part of the law to be essentially waived. They renegotiated or restructured the deal so that Solyndra backers were able to get priority over the taxpayers with respect to, I think it was the first $75 million of whatever of their assets could be sold off at the end. So they actually went out of their way, and I think beyond the parameters of what federal law wants done, in order to protect the backers from the consequences of their horrific investments.
Bringing it back to the present now, what does that episode tell us specifically about Ron Klain and his appointment by this administration?
Well, I think the most interesting thing about it was that it, even with all the financing and everything else that went on, it became clear that Solyndra was going to explode, and that looked like it was about to happen right before the midterm elections of 2010. And it was reported to Klain and Valerie Jarrett, among others, that on around October 28th, they were going to announce that they were letting 20% of their workforce go and closing one of their big plants. The next thing you know, the Department of Energy ends up putting a lot of pressure on Solyndra, and they delay the announcement until the day after the election. So, you know, I think it's a cautionary tale about what Mr. Klain's real job is here, which is basically to massage news and, if necessary, I think, particularly with a new round of midterm elections on the horizon, to manage when news gets disclosed so it will have the least damaging political impact.
Sounds like you're not optimistic that this is actually going to improve public awareness or the official policy of our government as we combat the threat.
Well, I just think that it's not a good sign when they bring somebody in to coordinate an effort whose chief talent is massaging bad news for political purposes. And I think Klain is, from all accounts, he's a very bright guy, and he's probably very good at his job. But I don't know that, what the country's worried about is an Ebola outbreak. His particular skill set is what people were looking for to coordinate him.
Andy, as always, good to have you with us, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
You too, sir. Andrew C. McCarthy, former federal prosecutor. His latest book, Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment, also writes frequently for National Review Online, and that's where you can find today his piece on Ron Klain and Solyndra and how it informs us about his appointment as Ebola czar in the past few days. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.